The Guardian.
Warning, this podcast contains repeated use of the phrase, fuck you. Hello, this is Music Weekly. I'm Alexis Petridis. In this podcast, CeeLo Green deconstructs the phrase, fuck you, for us.
It's like, I care whether or not you know I don't care. You know, like, you know, I need you to know I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, it's very ironic in that way.
Singles Club this week features Jamie from the XX, Bon Iver meeting Kanye West and Sufjan Stevens, and Vince Clarke tells us what it was like to go back on the road with Yazoo after 25 years and how growing up in Basildon made it easy to find Alison Moyet.
I knew of Alison because she lived in the same town as me, and I knew that she had a great voice and she was a soul-y kind of singer, you know. Basildon, where I come from, is a very small town and they're on a lot of great singers there.
That's all coming up in Music Weekly from The Guardian. Rosie Swash is with me, of course. Hello, Rosie.
Hello, how are you?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
What's been going on in your world? Anything exciting?
Well, I had a driving lesson last night.
This is what the people of Britain want to hear about.
The saga continues.
Exactly.
The saga continues. How's it been going?
Someone did actually ask on the blog a couple of weeks ago. I just decided to make that.
Did they?
They did, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic, isn't it? I love our listeners. That's superb. Did it go well?
It did go very well. Now I just need to pass the test to that bit.
Amazing.
But I did the new, you have 10 minutes of free-thinking driving where they don't give you instruction.
Free-thinking driving, jazz driving.
Improv driving.
And I was really good at it.
You're amazing. You're just riffing like John Coltrane.
Exactly.
Ben, hello, Ben.
Hi.
The Guardian's Ben Beaumont-Thomas, you probably just heard him speaking there. He's also with us. How are you doing?
I'm very good. Thanks very much.
Excellent. Well, first up today is an interview that Ben did with CeeLo Green, the rapper and singer. Got his start with Atlanta's Goody Mob. He's collaborated with Outkast, and he went on to form Gnarls Barkley with Danger Mouse. CeeLo's new single is called Fuck You, which I brought in a couple of weeks ago for the Singles Club. CeeLo talked with Ben about Fuck You. I love saying that. That's fantastic. CeeLo talked with Ben about Fuck You, about his creative process, and how he really feels about R&B.
I don't like R&B. I'm not insulting it. It's just not. I don't know. Like, I'm not making any promises. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, I'm not selling any dreams. I'm not using sex as a weapon. I'm certainly not selling sex. You know, I'm saying, take me the way that I am or fuck you. Now, that's rock and roll for you. Fuck you is no different than a fashion statement, a hairstyle, a tattoo, a piercing, something to say, I don't care, you know, but apparently you care the most, you know, because it's like, I care whether or not you know I don't care. You know, like, you know, I need you to know I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, it's very ironic in that way. But I'm going to dress it. And after I get it off my chest, may God bless it. I will invest 4 minutes exactly.
You're a master of both singing and rapping. And sometimes in, you know, within one track or even one verse or bars or, you know, very little portions of song, you can hop between sort of kind of crooning, singing, and then this quite hard-edged rapping. How do you kind of maintain that dexterity and the sort of mastery over each discipline sort of thing?
I guess in Kung Fu, after you achieve black belt, you don't ever lose sight of the belts beneath you, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, you could master Kung Fu and study Jiu-Jitsu, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could be a master of one thing and a student of another. I think that's even more commendable that this particular individual that we speak of, you know, this Kung Fu master, he has not become content with himself. There's always more to know, you know? But, of course, with all things, balance is all that you could ever ask for or aspire toward in life, you know, balance. You know, because a car does not crank or move, you know, without a positive and negative charge.
You kind of oscillate between moments of real euphoria, real sort of upbeat happiness, and then kind of breezy moments where you're just sort of kicking back, and then quite fierce and angry moments. And sometimes you can go through all of those emotions in one song, it seems. I mean, what's your kind of emotional state when you're making a record to kind of bring all those different feelings out?
If there was one singular sentiment all throughout an album, I would associate it with a flat line, like one single frequency. And flat lines, you know, in other capacities are associated with death, you know. So therefore, if my album is peak and valley, you know, up and down, that must mean that it's alive, you know what I mean? Like, and what else is life but the peak and valley, you know, that we go through, you know? In my opinion, all of that variety, you know what I'm saying, like, is the art and the imagination of a very healthy mind, you know what I'm saying? It's proactive, you know, and not to be argued with, it's to be made amends with. Wasn't something to claim, that flag wasn't something to fly, it was something to blame, smiling and chucking and jiving. I was so ashamed, they did this dirty, apparently an appropriate name. I wrote about a revolution and songs from the soul, spoke with my spirit and mind, my ambition was blind, answering the call of God like a child obeying, preaching the... I do know what I'm doing, you know what I'm saying, like, but what I am doing is allowing myself to be led, you know what I'm saying, like allowing a great part of it to remain organic, you know. I'm conscious of what seed I've planted, you know, the surroundings, make sure it's deweeded, you know, and I'm watering it and allowing it enough sunlight, you know, and it's about procreation, of course, you know what I'm saying, like, and therefore, you know, you may just have to be a pro at creation.
That was CeeLo Green talking with Ben. Ben, he sounds like a fascinating character.
Yeah, he really was. I mean, he's actually one of my my all-time sort of musical heroes, and I was a bit worried that that would all come out just horribly sycophantic, but I managed to skirt around it. But yeah, sort of going in to meet him, it was like this kind of audience with a sort of mystic, albeit a kind of mystic dressed in a matching Adidas bottle, apple green sort of hoodie and shorts. Wow. and a kind of pair of giant bug sunglasses, sort of that Nicole Richie would wear back in sort of 2005.
Buddha in sportswear.
Yeah, that's the kind of that was the vibe. And he really is a fascinating guy. Really kind of extremely deep. He had been doing interviews for the last 8 hours. I think he had been started to drift into mad, rather crazy territory. But yeah, and it was really, really revealing stuff, I thought.
It's sort of interesting what he was saying about R&B. Interesting definition of R&B, I think. Mind you, had an interesting definition of everything. So yeah. I've heard Fuck You. I haven't heard the rest of the album. What is it like?
I haven't heard all of it yet, actually, either. But
good old hip hop interview.
He's
not finished.
Yeah.
What's he ever talking about it for then? Wants to go back in the studio.
Get that done, lad.
Yeah, hurry up, mate. Yeah, then you can come over here and talk all your in crazy talk. Anyway, Ben.
There are a couple of tracks I've heard which are quite one that's produced by Jack Splash from Plant Life, which is really good. That's got a kind of shifting, quite classic R&B groove to it. And then, yeah, Fuck You is much more sort of where Bruno Mars wrote it. It's this kind of fairly classic soul sounds. I don't know what to expect. I mean, his last records have had an enormous variety of different things on, like from this really laid back sort of just smoking weed at a barbecue sort of hip-hop tracks to really quite fierce and angry sort of things with lots of guitars flying.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, I first became aware of him, I think, as a solo artist with the album CeeLo Green is the Soul Machine. It's a great record. But that's kind of very much in the vein of, you know what I mean, Outkast style. You can tell it's that sort of, you know, Southern Fried Atlanta kind of sound. But then obviously he goes off and does Gnarls Barkley. And, you know, he's sort of covering Violent Femmes songs and things like that. I mean, there's obviously kind of a wider range there. Rosie, are you a fan?
I am a fan. I think it's interesting that with Gnarls Barkley, and particularly with Crazy, you know, they're playing these huge stadium dates and festivals in Eastern Europe, and they have this appeal to the mass, the populist crowd. But I do really think a lot of what he's written for Niles Barkley deserves a reappraisal, because Crazy in particular, you know, the lyrics, it really sounds like someone's just opened the lid to their head and they just spilled it on the page, and they're teetering on the edge of sanity. And it's just this like glossy, upbeat tune. And I can't begin to think for a second that half the people that bought that as a polyphonic download when it was out a few years ago were like coming and grasping the meaning behind the lyrics. So I am a fan of Niles Barkley. At the same time, as we said before, when we were talking about Fuck You, I feel that, you know, it's a bit of an injustice served to them that that kind of production has been nabbed by certain other producers and then just totally, it's just done everywhere at the moment. And it's, sure, you know, everything we were talking about, Pixie Lott before. And so you just kind of wash your hands of it. But I think they did it particularly well.
Interesting. Well, CeeLo Green's new album, The Lady Killer, has had its release date moved. It'll now be available on November the 9th. The Fuck You EP is out now. Time for Singles Club again. We've each brought in a track to play on Mr. Twirly, the Guardian's dusty gramophone. And the first comes from Rosie. Was Far Nearer by Jamie from the XX, or Jamie XX as he's calling himself these days. Rosie, you brought that in. Tell us a little bit about it.
It's so far, unfortunately you can't buy it, but you can go online and hear it as played on the John Kennedy show, which means at the end of the track you get John Kennedy going, wow, are we going to have lots of steel drums on the new XX album? That is amazing. So if you like that on the end of your record, it's up there. I picked it because obviously they just won the Mercury, and I feel that Jamie always gets a bit of stick from people as the what do you do in the band, or you just click a load of buttons, which is a ridiculous argument, because what does anyone really do other than
hang on, which one is Jamie?
Jamie is the one that does the drum machine,
and the one that never spoke,
the one that never speaks,
literally never spoke,
as he stands in the back with the tiny little various bits of equipment. But he was the, I think it's fair to say, the sort of not brains behind the album, but certainly the driving force behind the ambience and the atmosphere of the album, and the, you know, the sounds between the notes and all that kind of thing. And I particularly like that it feels like an obvious offshoot of what's been happening in dubstep for the last couple of years. Yeah. It sounds very Burial, but it's also on the flip side to that, just like this really warm track, which
is quite uplifting, kind of housey sort of vibe.
And you know, you don't really associate that with, you know, Burial or vast amounts of dubstep. It can seem quite cold and brutal. So it's almost turning that kind of music in on itself. I really like it.
He's tapping into that new sort of post dubstep or whatever kind of tag you want to apply to it. I think it's almost veers into pastiche of some of the artists like James Blake, or there's kind of that ravey Joy Orbison vibe, or anything on Night Slugs like Egyptrix, and all these kind of acts that are, you know, take this 4/4 tempo and push that higher up into the mix and have these kind of pitch shifted sampled vocals that are like turned down, like, you know, James Blake did with sort of Khalees and that sort of thing, and then also having these kind of weird pitch bendy ravey kind of I'm sort of coming up, I don't know what's going on sort of noises. And it's definitely tapping into that slightly, sort of thumbs up.
I agree. I really like it, and I think what's interesting is it's very common for indie bands, I think, to go, well, of course, what we really listen to is dubstep and all. You know, while making records that essentially sound like The Cure. And I always thought you know, I always remember interviewing, I'm always going to go about Bloc Party, but I remember interviewing Bloc Party and being told how much they hated all indie music and how the only music that was interesting was dubstep and R&B. Thinking, well, why do you sound like you do then? You know, it didn't make no sense. But with the XX, I always thought you could tell a little bit that they clearly had been listening to something a bit wider than maybe the kind of artists that people were talking from. And this sort of proves it, because it's not a sort of blundering indie attempt at making a dance record. You know what I mean? You could imagine somebody serving you that up at a dance shop if you went, what kind of, you know, I like Floating Points, I like Joy Orbison, I like that sort of post-dubstep slightly housey sound, and you wouldn't go, oh, this sounds, you know what I mean, this sounds rubbish. So I think it's really good. I think it's really intriguing that they're doing stuff like that. I mean, I think it's intriguing to see what they're going to come up with next, the XX, and this makes me more intrigued still.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, no, good stuff. Good for Jamie from the XX. Three thumbs up there. Far Nearer will be released soon on Numbers Records. What is actually Numbers Records? Does anybody know anything about that label? I've never heard of that.
From the guys from Glasgow, is it Rusty and That Gang?
is it good old Rusty and That Gang? Wow, amazing.
I think they kind of become a conglomerate, almost like a sort of super label that are sucking up various different bits of kind of scene, like, you know, the Hudson Mohawks, Rusty Scottish stuff, and then I think Zombies released stuff on them, and it's definitely a quite sort of authentic, for whatever, however much that word has any worth, label for Jamie.
But he's releasing it on I'm saying is he's releasing it on a kind of dance label rather than releasing it on. Yeah, okay, fascinating. Okay, well, now let's listen to what Ben Beaumont Thomas has brought in for us to listen to. I'm up in the woods. I'm down on my land. I'm building a stairwell down the town. I'm lost in the world. That was Lost in the Wood by Kanye West, which samples Woods by Bon Iver and features Gil Scott-Heron doing a spoken word bit at the end. Ben, you brought that in.
Yeah, I just... I could talk for probably a good half an hour about this, and I won't, but I just think the beauty of auto-tune has kind of been pushed to the front of this track, and is kind of the ultimate fuck you. Let's continue a meme in the show to like the death of auto-tune, Jay-Z kind of idea, because I think... You know, Bon Iver wrote this track, Woods, which is a solo vocal a cappella auto-tuned track with lots of some multi-tracked vocals of his all fed through this explicitly auto-tuned manner. And then he also reworked it for his other band, Volcano Choir. They did something new with it. And then Kanye heard it from someone and invited him out to Hawaii. And then they hung out with Nicki Minaj and created this. And I think it's just absolutely beautiful and wonderful. I'll stop gushing.
It's interesting because you're talking about the use of auto-tune. Without wishing to preempt the track that I've brought in, it's a track off the new Sufjan Stevens album. And the last track on that, which is 25 minutes long, is absolutely covered in auto-tune, which is sort of the exact opposite of what you expect. Interesting to see indie artists using it. I will say this much for Kanye West. A bit of a berk he may appear to be when he's on Twitter, but he keeps trying to do something different in a way that I don't think anybody else certainly in that kind of mainstream hip-hop world is trying to do. You know what I mean? He's constantly trying to push things on. I think sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Wasn't the greatest fan of 808s and Heartbreak. You know, I mean, I know people like it sound like the Postal Service and stuff like that. I thought it was a bit sort of standoffish, and I didn't... You know what I mean? The first time I heard Love Lockdown, I thought
amazing.
It was... Did you really?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's interesting. It just didn't... The first time I heard Love Lockdown, which I heard... this makes me sound really cool. in an apartment in Berlin at 5 o'clock in the morning, having been up all night at a Vice warehouse party. Check me out. Yes, ladies. Alexis Petridis, 39 years old. I still know how to party. And I was hanging out with Little Booty's manager. And I came on the telly and I hadn't heard it before. And I thought, this is literally the greatest record I've ever heard in my life. This is amazing. And I got the album and it just didn't... I don't know. Something about it didn't connect in the way I wanted it to. This, on the other hand, I thought was great. I thought it was a really, really, really interesting record, something really different. He can clearly see the link between the auto-tune vocals and, you know what I mean, and what he's been doing previously. It's got Gil Scott-Heron on it. We like. Rosie.
I don't like it that much, but I agree that I'm glad he's being brave and making quite weird stuff. It didn't sit particularly well with me through it, probably through its weirdness. But I'm interested to hear what you said, Ben, about auto-tune. Do you think auto-tune deserves a reappraisal? Is that what you're saying?
I was just surprised at the level of backlash against auto-tune when it, you know, was in its first ascendancy probably about 2 years ago, because it just seems to me like another potential instrument or another potential effect, like reverb or echo, to me, that can be deployed in rather simplistic ways that maybe, you know, the sort of T-Pain type of way. Not that he hasn't made good tracks, but then also that, you know, you can turn it into this extremely evocative and futuristic sound. I think that Kanye at the moment is the most interesting person in pop music, really. I think this kind of whole Taylor Swift thing that happened a year ago has been weirdly a real kind of creative outlet for him.
It would appear so, from what he's saying.
The conflict that he's had, and you know, he really seems very kind of sorry for what he did, but then he's got this extreme self-belief that, you know, most people would tag as arrogance, and I give him the benefit of the doubt. But it's these two kind of poles that are warring with each other that are great in this absolutely amazing music, I think.
I would just want to take up the point about auto-tune. I understand what you're saying, it's an effect like reverb or echo. Isn't it a little bit more like that 19 vocal stutter that was big in the 80s?
No, it's got so much more potential than
really?
That, I think. I think it's the level of auto-tuning that you can do. It can be, you know, like the Bon Iver track's a good example, because it's some of it's very kind of subtle and shifts in very tiny microtones, and then some of it will sweep up and down the scale and it'll just sound like this complete bizarre sort of futuristic opera thing going on. I think it's a really kind of expressive medium when applied intelligently.
Like what CeeLo was saying about not flatlining.
Absolutely, yeah. Not flatlining. What else did he say? It's procreation.
Procreation.
So you've got to be a procreation.
Procreation.
Lost in the World is on Kanye West's new album, which might be released on November the 22nd, but might not. Kanye has tweeted his fans to ask them when he should release it. No word yet on their collective decision. And now, it's my turn. That was my choice. That's Too Much by Sufjan Stevens. Not the opening track, the second track from his album, his new album, The Age of Odds.
Ads?
Odds, I think it's
odds. 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 Odds.
I really like this whole album. I think it's a really interesting and brave record. It should be said that that track, if you hear it all the way through, just gets progressively more and more and more mental. So it's just got ridiculous kind of trombones on it and squawking electronics, and at the end there's what sounds like an orchestra being pushed down a flight of stairs. And it just is a really brave, I think, interesting record that also has a really good tune. Mm. And the new album is clearly, you know, very experimental. The last track on it is 25 minutes long. And yet, you know, there's no way of describing his new album that doesn't make it sound rather foreboding and sort of awful. But I think it's a really, 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 really good record. Really brave, really interesting piece of work. Rosie.
I'm glad that you brought this in, because it was going to be my second choice. It's a toss-up between that and Jamie XX. I think it was out on National Public Radio last week,
that's right,
wasn't it?
But you can stream it up until the point it's released, yeah.
And the first track on the album, Futile Devices, it seems like real classic Sufjan Stevens. It's like a really beautiful, it's just like, you know, strings and that's it. I could have been on Seven Songs. And then suddenly this came on and I just thought, what?
WTF?
Yeah, we had WTF, OMG. And it's like we were discussing before the show, we were talking about when you're trying to describe why something's amazing and it just makes it sound awful. Yeah, so it makes it sound like he's been listening to dubstep music. you think, God, that's the last thing I want to hear. It was before the Arcade Fire album came out. They said that it was going to be a mix of Depeche Mode and Neil Young. And you just think, oh, God, no.
Pompous and gothy. Nice.
And then there was that song on the Suburbs Arcade Fire album, The Sprawl 2, which actually did sound kind of exactly like the two, and it was brilliant. So... Mm. You know, you shouldn't always take, basically don't listen to critics, but this is brilliant.
No, don't listen to anyone that describes it. I spoke to a man who spent this morning reviewing this album, and I could find no way of describing it that didn't make it sound perfectly ghastly. I assure you, it's a brilliant, brilliant record. Ben, any...
Yeah, I used to really like Sufjan Stevens. I really enjoyed Michigan and Illinois. And then I kind of had this sort of Road to Damascus moment where the scales fell from my eyes and I suddenly thought, this is just really prissy and mannered and twee and I hate it, and then never listen to it again. And but then this I really like, and it still has some of the same things that he was doing before with these sort of 5-4 kind of time signatures that shift around. But it's with this really sort of, and some of the melodies as well are quite similar. Like he always does this thing where he goes la 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 like that, and there's always a kind of similar melodic bent to a lot of his stuff. But then this time it I mean, this is quite a sort of wanky journo thing to say, but it sounds a bit like, to me, I thought this on the tube, it sounds a bit like Animal Collective doing the music for a Disneyland advert on TV. It's like this sort of really kind of echoey and mad, but this sort of quite symphonic and cheesy almost as well.
I think it's interesting. I get the Animal Collective thing. I think it's interesting in that, you know, if you look at an album like Come On Fool the Illinois, he goes for that sort of maximalist production. It's like more of everything. You know, there's that amazing clip on, it's an outtake on one of the Beach Boys albums, I think it's from the Smile Sessions, where you actually hear Brian Wilson sort of going, yeah, that's great, that's great. Can we get a horse in the studio? Is it possible for us to do that? And there's an element of that about Sufjan Stevens' production. And what he seems to have done on this album is just try to apply that to a kind of a world of electronica and sampling and that, without aping, I mean, Dintel, or I suppose it sounds a bit like them in places. Dintel, I don't know how you pronounce it. Dintel? Dinatella. No, I mean, I think it's a. Do you know how to pronounce it? You're laughing at me. Do you know how to pronounce
it's
it?
It's facial expressions, so you're doing it. I think they all sound good to me.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I think it's a really, really interesting difference. Has split Sufjan Stevens' fan base in two, it would appear, as to the worth of it, which seems remarkable because Sufjan Stevens' fan base have put up, let's be honest, quite a lot.
Yeah.
Up to and including a 5-CD box set of Christmas songs. You know, and they've gone, no, too much. Too much is too much. You'll find Too Much on the Age of Ads, however you want to pronounce it, which is released on Asthmatic Kitty, its own label, on the 12th of October. Your comments on last week's show on the band Salem. Japantha writes, it's not quite the same as Salem, but if you're after some female droney music, and let's face facts, who isn't, check out the compilation put out by Not Not Fun Records a while back called My Easter Generation. Brilliant, what a great name. My Easter Generation. It has the now sadly defunct Poker Haunted. Oh, this is brilliant. It's less than enough brass eye. It has the now sadly defunct Poker Haunted, Topaz Rag, Solar Jesus, and a load of other female drones / psychedelic bands, and is well worth a listen. Brilliant. I think we should all head out and get that. Sounds great.
Makes me feel sad to hear the words female and drone put together.
Yeah.
It sounds like nagging, doesn't it?
It does sound like nagging music.
It's a Manning joke.
Music made by my mum. imagine that. On these New Puritans... And there's another one, he's a friend of Dintel, obviously, Apgbud, APGbud, whatever, says, I absolutely loved Hidden, possibly my favourite album of the last 5 years or so. Unfortunately, the only chance I've had to see them was at the Shoreditch Festival. Fuck me, what a mess. They were awesome for the 2 minutes of We Want War they managed to get in before the entire system went kaput and everything was plunged into silence.
That doesn't sound like that's their fault.
No. I don't think he was saying,
oh, right, okay.
Fuck me, what a mess. Like, you know, and it's these New Puritans' fault.
Right.
You know, I think he's just saying the event itself was probably a bit of a mess.
So basically, blame Shoreditch.
Awesome. They were good.
Yeah, fantastic.
Fantastic. Yes, I've seen them live and they're very good also. On the subject of disco, regular poster Phil Jones 87 writes, Rosie makes a good point about melancholy being a cornerstone of the eternal popularity of disco. The idea of doom beauty hangs over so much of the 70s dance floor canon. That's always going to have a pan-generational appeal. There was also bleak realism songs like, as Alexis pointed out, Native New Yorker, that went hand in hand with the more fantastical elements. Disco has always been a target for self-important critics to parody as synthetic or frivolous, but it's full of heart and power and soul for anyone who takes time to listen. I couldn't agree more. Disco is probably my favourite music in the entire world. Thanks for all your comments. Guardian.co.uk/musicweekly is the place to leave them if you so desire. Moving on now. I've interviewed Vince Clark. Right on.
Gels.
Of the
Gels.
Gels. Did you just make that up?
Is it Gels? No.
Is that how
totes
young people
how
talk?
People speak.
Totes. I've been
we're just sending into go, blog
like
chatter
say,
hell.
I just say it's not how I speak.
You say that now. It's a bit late to say that after you've just said all these things. But anyway, I've totes interviewed Vince Clarke of the legendary electronic soul group Yazoo. They're only going concern for 3 short years between 1981 and 1983. But 2 years ago, they got back for a series of shows and a reissue of their classic material. Vince began by telling me why they broke up in the first place.
Well, myself and Alison really just kind of never really got to know each other in the time that we were together. Mm-hmm. And, the band was kind of an accident. You know, it started off as a demo for Mute for one of my songs, mm-hmm. which was Only You. And then, when that did quite well, and then Daniel from the record company said, like, you know, why don't you make an album? So we made an album, and then we did a tour. And then we made another record. But in all that time, you know, we weren't like mates or anything.
Really? So it was a sort of meeting of talents rather than a meeting of minds kind of thing?
Yeah, I guess so. And, because there was no foundation to our relationship, mm-hmm. It kind of fell apart.
One of the things I always find interesting about Yazoo is that up to that point, sort of synth pop area in which you were working in Britain had tended to use very sort of male voices, or if there were female voices, they were quite sort of icy and Teutonic and that kind of thing. Or if there were male voices, they were quite fey and very British. Whereas, you know, with Yazoo, what you seem to be doing was going, you're obviously working with this very ballsy female, almost blues singer in a way, you know. Was that sort of a conscious decision of something that you wanted to do, or did that just happen? Did it just work out that way?
Well, a bit of both. I knew of Alison because she lived in the same town as me, and I knew that she had a great voice, and she was a soul-y kind of singer, you know. Mm. And I had that Only You, which I felt needed, you know, was an emotional kind of lyric, and so that's why I got in touch with her to sing that song, you know. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like, I wasn't thinking into, it wasn't a conceptual thing.
I sort of wondered whether, what it struck me is that it actually harks back to stuff that was happening in America, you know, sort of dance music that had been happening in America in the late 70s, where you'd have that kind of electronic bass with a gutsy female singer. And obviously, ironically, it came full circle because Situation became a huge hit, you know, dance floor hit, the Paradise Garage and stuff like that. But that wasn't really what you were aiming for.
No, I mean, you know, Basel, where I come from, is a very small town, and they're on a lot of great singers there. I mean, you know, I'm sure there are some, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Kind of, it's like when you form your first band and that, you know, the drummer that you bring into the band is the drummer of the town. When I see
you never really played live that much as Yazoo, did you? I mean, it wasn't a sort of, you weren't like a hard touring band in the first place.
No, it was really good. I mean, you know, it was nice to kind of get to know Alison as a grown-up person, and me also, you know?
Yeah.
And we were really pleased. I mean, the reception was great, you know? I mean, considering we hadn't performed for, like, you know, 28 years or something.
Mm.
Especially in America and places that we'd never been to, you know? It was very... it was very nice to see so many people saying to us that, oh, you know, this is the music I grew up with, and this is the stuff I listened to when I was at college and stuff, you know, so...
That's really... So what were you kind of bit... I mean, you were called Yaz, weren't you, in America?
That's right.
For some reason. Were you sort of big in the States? Do you sell a lot of records over there?
Well, we never charted or nothing, but Situation did really well out there.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of other tracks, you know, but it was more like on a college radio.
Yeah, sure.
So, well, like an underground thing, but, you know, at the end, the record sold quite well, yeah.
And so you finally, you put this collection of tracks from the tour out, and I noticed on the iTunes the iTunes version of it has this this extra track on it, which has never come out before.
Right, that was, yeah, I mean, you know, they go into the archives and they try desperately to find anything. That particular track was something that we wrote and recorded for a TV show many years ago.
So. It was a Saturday morning kids show that I remember very well, actually. I was quite excited to see it. So is the problem there's not that much stuff left in the archives?
There's nothing left.
Really?
I mean, you know, they've sucked it dry, I'm telling you, you know.
Oh, that was me chatting to Vince Clarke about Yazoo. The name of the kids' TV show, I believe, that got mentioned there was Get Set for Summer. It made me rather regretful that I didn't go and see Yazoo when they reformed.
Yeah.
The live album sounds really good. Alison Moyet is in fine voice, I think, throughout.
Flawless.
Really, really undervalued singer, Alison Moyet, isn't she? I mean, I think because her own career went off into slightly MOR, you know what I mean, Love Resurrection, all that kind of territory, that she's sort of seen as a bit Heart FM.
I also didn't realise until quite recently that, you know, she's got this amazing kind of, you know, like you said, real blues voice, almost disco diva, and then, you know, an interview, she's like, yeah, you're all right, Madison. Yeah,
totally, I love it. Totally. Yeah, it's really funny. If you read the sleeve note, the album Reconnected, her sleeve notes are absolutely hilarious.
Because she's really funny.
She's really funny, and she painfully hated kind of synth pop and didn't really like Depeche Mode.
And also saw an interview with her on This Morning about one of her huge kind of MOR hits afterwards, but it was quite a recent interview. Mm. And Lorraine Kelly goes, hey, you know, that's great, wasn't it? She went, oh, I hate that. Just makes me wish I'd never done half the stuff I'd done.
I was remember sure that there was an interview with her in Smash Hits at the time, and they said, oh, you know, what's your idea of perfect happiness? This is Smash Hits Teenage Magazine. And she went, oh, well, you know, family and friends around me, da 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 da, and all this sort of stuff, you know, peace of mind. And obviously being fucked rigid on a regular basis would be quite good as well. Ben, are you a fan of Yazoo?
Not particularly, actually. I'm going to paraphrase Woody Allen and say that well, I think the production's terrible and that there isn't enough of it.
Yeah, I know.
It's my kind of opinion on it. I think it's live there, just a little snatch we heard, sounds really full and oomphy, to use a technical term. But but yeah, on record, I find it a little bit thin, and just the melodies, I don't know what it is about them. Just don't kind of cling to me.
I know what you mean, insofar as earlier this year I decided, inspired by that Synth Britannia documentary on BBC 4, amazing documentary, that there was actually quite a lot of synth pop albums I didn't have, because when they were coming out, I was really young, you know, I was like 11, 12 years old, and, you know, surviving on pocket money and didn't really have the money to buy albums, to buy singles. And I thought, I'll buy a load of these records and see what they're like. And that kind of tinniness of production, which is a real 80s kind of trope that nobody... Despite the amount of 80s revival that's been going on, no one, with the exception of LaRue, has revived it. His record's very tinny indeed. It is a bit of a barrier. I really like
Francois Kevorkian does with Situation,
yeah,
which he really gives it a lot more bass and space between everything. And I just guess I prefer that kind of heavier, warmer American sound.
Excellent. Well, the Yazoo live concert album is called Reconnected Live, and it's out now. Well, that's all you get for this week. More than enough, I'd say. Many thanks, Ben, for dropping by. Lovely
no worries,
to see you again.
Thank you.
Cheers, Rosie, as ever.
Thanks.
Nice to see you too.
And you.
Yes. My thanks to producer Andy, producer Pete, and Alicia Sessions, and everyone else who knows me. I'm Alexis Petridis, and see you next time. Fuck you.
4 more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.